My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. In a few minutes, why America's food supply is dependent on tiny critters getting trucked around like a traveling circus. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. New York's Attorney General announced yesterday that 46 of her fellow state prosecutors have now joined New York's antitrust investigation into Facebook. Meanwhile, the company's CEO Mark Zuckerberg will be in Washington today testifying about the launch of the company's digital currency, Libra. It was planned to launch next June, but Zuckerberg plans to offer an olive branch to skeptical politicians and regulators, perhaps a delay. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Zuckerberg will tell the House Financial Services Committee that Facebook will wait for regulators' approval before launching Libra, according to his prepared testimony. Members of Congress are worried Libra could be used for money laundering or lead to financial instability.
It's a black hole from a regulatory perspective.
Daniel Ives is managing director at Wedbush Securities. He recommends concrete action, maybe establishing more independent oversight.
Once every 6 months or once every 9 to 12 months, reporting back to some oversight board.
There is already an association of companies that will help launch Libra, but earlier this month, Visa, MasterCard, and other financial firms backed out. Rajesh Kandaswamy at Gartner Research says that hurt Facebook's cause.
Maybe they need to get some more allies before they make a larger case.
He says Facebook may need to turn to traditional banks in its efforts to remake banking. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
There's a shakeup at Nike. CEO Mark Parker says he'll step aside in January. His replacement, John Donahoe, a former CEO of eBay, who's been running not some retail or sports marketing company, but a cloud computing firm. Donahoe will be taking over a company in transition. Marketplace's Justin Ho is following this.
Yeah, John Donahoe is a Nike board member right now, but his background in the tech industry is what's being sold as a strength. The outgoing CEO, Mark Parker, said Donahoe's background in digital commerce will help him push what he called Nike's digital transformation. Nike's been trying to sell products more directly to customers instead of going through wholesalers and brick-and-mortar retailers. And this year, it's been reporting pretty decent sales figures, both here and in China, which is a huge market for the company.
Mr. Parker will inherit a corporate culture that's been, shall I say, making news lately?
Right. The company's been under fire for reportedly permitting a culture where employee issues weren't taken seriously. Mark Parker also reportedly apologized to staff last year for this. And also, Nike's been at the center of a high-profile doping scandal. This involved a Nike-backed running coach who'd been experimenting with a performance-enhancing testosterone cream and testing whether it would trigger doping tests. Earlier this month, the Wall Street Journal reported that the CEO was briefed on the experiments on multiple occasions. Now, Nike disputes the idea that those experiments were designed to help athletes evade positive doping tests and says Mark Parker's decision to step down had nothing to do with that scandal.
Justin, thank you. Let's check the numbers. FTSE in London up 0.6%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures here have hardly changed.
We'll be right back.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that the same individual honeybees that work on blueberries in Maine are also essential to the almonds in California? The very same bees get trucked hither and yon. Why all these road warrior bees? Because there aren't enough of them.
You know, it's one straw too many. You got mites, you got virus, you got, you know, poor nutrition, and then you have pesticide exposure on top of that. It's more than we should expect of any organism to survive.
That's Marianne Fraser, a retired ag expert at Penn State, in a new documentary featuring dramatic footage of bees and a disturbing discussion that, as someone in the film says, should concern anyone who eats. The movie is called The Pollinators, and its director and cinematographer is Peter Nelson. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Not enough bees, but tell me about this dramatic logistics operation to get the bees to crops right at the moment those crops need the bees.
So they move 2 million bees for almond pollination every year out to California from all over the country in order to do that one pollination. And bees have this unique quality, honeybees have this unique quality, is that they go back to their hive at night and you can palletize them and you can move them on trucks. And so they'll put 400 hives of bees on a truck and move it at night to another location. And from there, they spread out usually to remote places to so many other crops, like 400 crops that we eat are commonly pollinated by honeybees.
Now, a lot of assaults on our friends, the bees, parasites, you point out in the film, poor nutrition is another one.
Yeah, it's a lack of diversity in the forage because of the changes in agriculture has gotten much more simplified. So you have monocultures of corn, of soy, of almonds. And so bees need a wide variety of nutritional sources to be healthy, just like we do.
And then there's another assault on the bees, pesticides. There's the residual variety that might be just hanging around. But also, farmers are supposed to coordinate when they spray a pesticide. And they're not supposed to do that when there are bees around, but that doesn't always happen.
No, it's, you know, it's in agriculture areas, oftentimes, you know, farmers don't know what the next farmer next door is doing, and the next farmer may have pressures that they need to spray, and they're not always as good as they could be about alerting the neighboring farmer that they're going to spray. And so often the bees get kind of caught in the crossfire.
So parasites, troubles with nutrition, pesticides, but also the way we do agriculture in America. That's one of the central themes of your film, really.
Yeah, we want to connect this right to people's plates. And it's important to know that these beekeepers are not moving these bees because they necessarily want to. It's the changes in our agricultural system that have really require them to do this change and to move the bees around like this. And it's kind of the important story that everybody doesn't know they need to know, that this really affects every one of us every time we sit down at the dinner table.
Does it help at all to have a pollinator garden in front of your house?
Absolutely, it helps, yeah. I mean, there's something about this issue that is completely actionable, and it's one of the things that drew me to this subject was that it's something that everybody who watches it can do something about and make a difference.
Peter Nelson is the director and cinematographer of the feature-length documentary The Pollinators. Peter, thank you.
Thanks for having me, David. It's great.
That film has been showing at festivals, but there's a system to sign up in advance for screenings across the country all on a single day, November the 6th. We have a link to the Pollinators info at marketplace.org, where we also have a longer director's cut of that conversation. You should see the bees on Peter's super slow motion camera. It's pretty cool. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.